Shalom Aleichem, Kinderlech. I know last week I didn't have a story, so today I'll tell you a couple of stories, all about the same person, about the same tzaddik, the same gaon. Today I'll tell you a little bit about the Noida B'Yehuda. The Noida B'Yehuda was Rabbi Yecheskel Landau. He wrote a sefer called Noida B'Yehuda. He's very, very well known. Was a gaon, one of the greatest gaonim of his time, and still today, people are still learning his svarim. He was, in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, he was against the Baal Shem Tov. He was menagid, a misnagid. But yet, the Baal Shem Tov said great things about him. And he didn't like it when people were saying nasty things about the Noida B'Yehuda. On the contrary, he said that he's a great man and that his Torah is protecting at least a third of the world. A third of the world exists in the schuz of the Noida B'Yehuda's Torah learning. So Neibud was a great man, a great tzaddik, but he didn't understand the Hasidim well, and he was against them. Now, there was a story that the daughter of the Noida B'Yehuda needed to have children. She didn't have children. And she asked her father to daven for her, and it didn't work. He tried to daven for her as many times as he could. She didn't have children. So then she heard that the Baal Shem Tov does mafsim, miracles. But she knew that her father was against the Baal Shem Tov. So she secretly traveled to the Baal Shem Tov and asked the Baal Shem Tov to give her a bracha. Baal Shem Tov gave her a bracha and she had a child. She then told her father the truth, that she went to the Baal Shem Tov, and that's why she had a child. So the father said, well, I'm not convinced it's because of his bracha. Maybe you would have had a child anyways. And maybe it's because I davened. How do I know it's because of him? But she kept traveling secretly to the Baal Shem Tov. And one time she was by the Baal Shem Tov. It was Friday night. And the Baal Shem Tov washed for the meal, washed for challah. It was Friday night after Kiddush. And he said, suddenly after he made a moitzi, oi, there's a candle, a light from the west. The west is Eretz Yisrael. We call it the west because it's the west of Bavel. There's a very big light in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, that just was extinguished, went out. And people didn't understand what he meant. He probably meant that some tzaddik was nistalik, it was nifter, and passed away now. But nobody knew what he meant. And after Shabbos, wasn't after Shabbos, after 2 weeks, because it took a long time for the news to travel, came the news that the Or HaChaim, Reb Chaim ben Attar, the great tzaddik Or HaChaim, some people call him Or HaChaim HaKadosh, passed away that Shabbos. And the Baal Shem Tov felt it. Beruach HaKodesh. The daughter of Reb Noida B'Yehuda was there by the Baal Shem Tov at the time when this happened. And everybody was very impressed. Also, Matzah Shabbos, the Baal Shem Tov right away tore his clothes and made kriya. And people still didn't know why. They knew that somebody must have passed away in Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't know why. So he, later on, 2 weeks later, the news came all the way from Eretz Yisrael that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh had passed away that Shabbos. And of course, on Shabbos, you can't tear your clothes. You can't show avelus, right? You can't show that you're mourning on Shabbos. Especially tearing clothes, you can't on Shabbos. So he waited till Matzah Shabbos and tore his clothes. So when she went back to her father, she told her father what she had seen. He's such a menagit, misnagit with the Baal Shem Tov. She saw the Baal Shem Tov is Ruach HaKodesh. And her father didn't believe the Baal Shem Tov is Ruach HaKodesh. So she told him the story. I saw him tearing his clothes because the Or HaChaim HaKodesh passed away. And 2 weeks later, they found out that he passed away. How did he know? So the father said, well, I don't know how he knew. But he was wrong. Because the halacha is that when somebody, a great tzaddik, a great leader of the generation is nistalik and passes away, you're not supposed to tear your clothes unless you're in the room with him. You're in the room where he passes away, but if you're far away, you're not supposed to tear your clothes. So when she went back the next time to the Baal Shem Tov, she told the Baal Shem Tov what her father said. The father said that he was doing not according to halacha, because he was in Mezhebuzh, in Europe, and the Or Chaim HaKadosh passed away in Yerushalayim. And you can't, if you're far away from where the person dies, you don't tear your clothes. So the Baal Shem Tov said, tell your father, I was there. That means great tzaddikim, even though they can be physically in one place, they can also be in another place at the same time. As we know from many stories of tzaddikim. Anyway, this is just an introduction so you understand the relationship of the Noi de Bihuda with the Baal Shem Tov. The Noi de Bihuda was a very, very sharp person. He was very smart, very smart. But he had a lot of people that were against him. When he came, he became Rav of Prague as a very young man. Prague had many, many big Talmidei Chachamim who felt that they could be Rabbonim, they could be the Rav of Prague. Why did they have to bring some young Rav from another city? Because they really came from another city. And they brought him to Prague. And Prague was a very famous city with a lot of big Chachamim and Gaonim. Why did they have to bring him? So they tried, some of the people, tried to prove that the Noi de Bihuda is not such a big Talmud Chacham, and that he can make mistakes. People will ask him shailas and halacha, and he will give an answer, and the answer won't be right. So once, there was a bris, that a very rich person, an important rich person in the community, had a bris, and he made a big su'uda, a big meal in his house for the bris. And they invited the Noi de Bihuda, the Rav of the city, and all the Rabbanim, and all the Goyim, Talmidei Chachamim, everybody came to the bris. These people that were against the Noi de Bihuda, and they always wanted to show everybody in the city their Rav is not a Talmud Chacham, and they should really not keep him as a Rav. They should send him away. So they prepared a very complicated shaila. They were going to pretend that they had a shaila, and they took a bone of a chicken or of an animal, and they showed that it was broken a little bit, and they wanted to know if it's treif or the kosher. You have to know the halacha. It's very complicated halachas to know whether, in this case, the bone is broken this way, that means that the behemah is treif, and if it's broken in a different way, the behemah is kosher. They made sure to make a very complicated case that is very, 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 very not clear. Hard to know whether it's kosher or the not kosher. So this way, they would make the Noi de Bihuda make a mistake. He would say the wrong psak, and then they'll prove to him that he is wrong. And everybody will watch this at the bris. It will be public in front of everyone. And they will embarrass him. And then people will realize that they brought a Rav who is not very knowledgeable, not such a big chacham. So they prepared it. And when the Noi de Bihuda walked into the bris, people came out with a bone. Says, Rav, we need to ask you a shaila. Something happened. this is the bone of an animal that we found, and it was broken when we shechted it. After we shechted it, we took out the bone, we saw it was broken. Do you think it's the behemah is kosher or not? Can we eat the meat of this behemah, or can we not eat the meat of this behemah? And the Noi de Bihuda looked at it and thought for a moment, and he said, yeah, it's mutter. You can eat the meat. So then the Talmidei Chachamim that were there, that didn't like him, started attacking him with arguments, saying, how could you say this? There's a Mefurja Shulchan Aruch that says this, and there's a Rashi that says this, and the Taz says this, and the Shach says this, and they brought proofs from all kinds of places that he's wrong. And the Noi de Bihuda listened patiently, and because he was an Ish Emes, he was a true person, he didn't, when he heard the truth, he was willing to admit that he made a mistake. Right? He was a person of truth. So he thought about it and they were right. He said, you know what? You're right. He said, I should have, I made a mistake. The behemah is treif. As soon as he admitted, these people that were against him made a big commotion, and you know, look, the Rav made a big mistake, and then they found other things, other shilas. They also tried to ask him questions, and again they tried to make sure that he makes a mistake, and then they told everybody, "Tell me, you're a Rav. You're making such mistakes. You don't have the answer to questions shilas people ask. A Rav is supposed to know the answers." So they would have realized that they were trying to trap him and to make him look bad. So he said to them like this, "You're right. A Rav has to be a Yid who learned Torah day and night, and he learned everything. He knows all the halachas, and he's has Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shemaim on him, that Hashem, he never makes a mistake. And because he's a Rav, he has special help min Hashemaim from Hashem, that he should say the right thing. Hashem protects and gives help to a Rav, that because he's trying to help a whole community to know what to do, what not to do, that the Eibusha helps him, that when he, you know, has this very difficult shaila and he has to go look into the Mefarshim, into the different sources, that he will come up with the right answer. But this help a Rav has, a real legitimate Rav, if he's a real Rav, a Rav who's worthy of being a Rav. But that's only true if the shaila is a real shaila. Never mind there was actually a story like this, right? They shechted a behemah and they found such a bone, and I don't want to know whether that means the behemah is kosher or the teif. But what if people just are acting and pretending that such a story happened? It never happened. They just set it up just to embarrass him. Since it's not relevant, it's not real, nobody needs to know because it didn't really happen. So then you don't have that special help for Hashem. Hashem is only helping the Rav because Hashem doesn't want the Rav to give the wrong psak to a Jew, and then he's going to eat the wrong thing. He's going to eat treif because the Rav made a mistake. So Hashem helps him that it shouldn't happen. But if it's just a setup and they pretend that such a story happened, it never happened, so it's possible for the Rav to make a mistake. That's what he answered. The Rebbe told that story many times, that a Rav has special assistance from Shemaim, that if they ask him a difficult shaila and he tries very hard to answer it, that his answer will be right. Here comes a very clever story that shows how the Nedim Yehudim, when he settled in Prague, there were many people from the community that came with arguments and fights about business, about money. You know, a Rav has to come up with a psak, with an answer, who is right and who is wrong. So the story goes like this. Once there was a man from Prague, a poor man, who needed money. So he decided to travel to Hungary, to another country, because Prague is in Czechoslovakia. He traveled to Hungary to raise money so he would have enough money to feed his family. So he traveled there and stayed there for a few weeks, for a few months. And after a few months, he had enough money. He thought he was going to come back to Prague. While he's walking in the streets of the city where he's in Hungary, he sees that there's a man from Prague that's in the street. He runs over to him and says, "Oh, Moshe." Moshe was a very rich man. He was a big businessman. He used to do business with wine. He used to buy barrels of wine in Hungary. Hungary had a lot of vineyards, a lot of good wine. So people would go travel to Hungary to buy the wine, big barrels of wine. They would bring it back in their wagon all the way back to Czechoslovakia, to Prague, and he would sell the wine over there to the Jewish community. He sees this wine businessman that he's walking there in the city, and he says, "Oh, are you going back by any chance to Prague anytime soon so I can catch a ride with you?" So the merchant says, "Yeah, sure, of course. No problem. I'm leaving tomorrow morning." So this poor man who just came here for a little bit to raise money, thought, "Oh, great, I'll go together with Moshe." Next morning, they go onto the wagon, and it's a long trip, and the wagon is full of barrels of wine, which Moshe had bought in Hungary. And our poor man is sitting in the back, and Moshe is sitting in the front, and in the front, all the way in the front, the one who was, whipping the horses was a goy, who was the balagola, right? The wagon driver. Now, the poor man had a whole bundle of money that he collected for so many months, and he wanted to hide it somewhere so during the trip it shouldn't get stolen. So he sees a barrel of wine and decided to put it right next to between two barrels of wine, like hiding it, tucking it in between two barrels of wine, so nobody would see it there. They travel and travel, and they arrive in Prague, and the poor man is very thankful to Moshe for giving him a ride, and he's trying to go and get his money. But when he looks there, he sees it's not there. It's gone. So the man turns to Moshe, the businessman, and says, Moshe, you and I were sitting here in the back half of the wagon, and my money is gone. So what do you think happened? In other words, he was saying, I am suspicious that you took my money. Moshe is like very insulted. What do you think, I would steal your money? Everybody knows me in Prague. I'm a very important person. I give a lot of tzedakah. I'm a rich man. Everybody respects me. You think I would steal your money? How can you even think that? But the poor man is not happy. He says, well, let's go to the Rav. And they went to the Nadi Behuda, and the Nadi said to Moshe, you got to come to the Besdin, because somebody's having a charge against you. He's saying that you stole his money. Moshe came, was very insulted. He says, Rav, how can you accuse me of stealing his money? Why would I even do such a thing? You know me, everybody respects me. I wouldn't steal his money. I'm an honest person. So the Rav listens to both. And then he says to Moshe, you know what? There's a halacha. The din is, if, let's say, somebody sues another person, says, you owe me money. Whether he says he stole his money or he owes him money because he borrowed from him money, there could be many reasons why somebody claims that the other person owes him money. Why does he owe me money? I loaned him money a month ago and he hasn't paid me back. Or he owes me money because he stole my money and he needs to give it back to me. Or he owes me money because he broke my door and now he has to pay me for the expenses of the door. So the halacha is that the one who is asking the other person to pay him money in Beis Din, he has to bring the proof. You can't just make somebody pay you money if you don't have proof that he really owes you the money. That's called in halacha, ha-moitzi mechaveiroi olav haraya. If you want to another person to give you money, you want the Beis Din to tell him he must pay you money, then you have to bring proof that he owes you the money. Otherwise, how do we know it's true? For he is denying it. The other guy says it's not. Same thing here. Moshe said, I never stole the money. The other poor man says, yeah, you stole the money. Hey, we sell to the other. You got to bring proof. You got to bring aidim, witnesses that saw Moshe steal the money. Otherwise, he can't make Moshe pay you the money. How do we know you're saying the truth? So the Nadi says to Moshe like this, it's true. When it comes to money, if he wants you to pay money, he's going to have to bring proof. He doesn't have any proof. But there's another problem here. If you didn't steal the money, who else was in the wagon? The goy that was sitting in the front. Maybe you stopped for a while, went to the bathroom somewhere in an inn, and while everybody was out of the wagon, the goy came and snuck in and found the money. But if the goy was sort of fishing around trying to find money, he must have touched the barrels of wine. If a goy touches wine, the wine becomes treif, becomes yayin nesach. A goy is not allowed to touch Jewish wine. So then all your wine should be considered treif. Because when it comes to food, kosher and treif, if we're not sure, we say, hey, it's treif. If we're not sure if something is kosher or treif, what do? Do we eat it or we don't eat it? Of course, we got to be strict. With money, if somebody says, you owe me money, and you can't prove it, we're not sure he's saying the truth, well, we say you don't have to pay because he has to prove that you owe him the money. But when it comes to something which is kosher, the trade, whether you're allowed to eat it, not allowed to eat it, if we don't know something, then we are being strict. We don't eat it. So if we don't know who stole it, it's possible the guy stole it. You're saying you didn't steal it. So then the guy must have stolen it. And if the guy stole it, that means he was messing around in the back of the wagon and looking between the barrels and kept looking inside the barrels and finding the money. Then I must say that all your barrels are now treif. When Moshe heard this, he said, oh no. That's a huge loss of money. If all his wine is not kosher, he would have to sell it to Goyim. And we don't even know if he's allowed to sell it to Goyim, if it's Mutar Bahano, or whatever. He's going to lose a huge amount of money. So Moshe didn't know what to do. He told the Rav, Rav, can you come to the side for another room? I want to talk to you. And they went to the side room, and when they were alone, he told the Rav, okay, I stole the money. The guy wasn't anywhere close to the barrels of wine. The wine is kosher. It's me. I stole the money. So Rav said, well, I don't believe you. Maybe you're just saying it now because you don't want your wine to be treif. How do I know you're saying the truth? But if you promise me you go to shul and go on the bima and tell everybody in front of everyone, I, Moshe, stole the money from this poor guy who was traveling with me on the wagon, then I'll believe you. Moshe had no choice because he wanted to save his wine because the wine was worth a lot more money than the money that he stole. And he didn't want to lose his wine. So everybody saw how smart the Rav was. See, to be a good Rav, it's not enough that you know the halacha. You also have to know how to catch people when they say a lie. And one last story. There was a very famous story in Prague where a woman's husband was lost. Now, he disappeared. He went on a trip and nobody knew where he was. And for several years, never came back. And they didn't know if he was alive or dead. And his wife couldn't get married. Because we don't know if she's still married or not. If he's dead, then she can get married to someone else. But if he's still alive somewhere, he needs to give her a get. Otherwise, she can get married. So one day, a man shows up that looks very, very much like her husband. And he says, I am your husband. It's me. I finally decided to come home. I got lost on the way. He gave a whole excuse why he didn't come home. And he said, it's me. So the woman is listening to him and she sees, yeah, he looks very much like my husband, but there's something about him that I feel it's not him. And she couldn't understand why she feels that way. And they went to the Rav. He went to the Rav. Her father. Her father and her went to the Rav. He told the Rav the whole story. So the Rav said, bring him here. I want to see him. They brought this man to the Rav. The Rav looked at his face and didn't say a word, just looked and stared at his face for a few minutes. Then he said, okay, take him home. Then he called over the father and said, you come along. I want to talk to you privately. He says, listen, you keep him in your house. Don't say anything. When Shabbos comes, you're going to shul. He's also going to go with you to shul. And like your son-in-law, her husband used to go to shul when he was here, living here, every Shabbos to shul. And in those days, people had their own seats. Everybody had their seats where they sat down. It's not like people go in 770 and you sit here, you sit there, one Shabbos here, one Shabbos there. You know, shuls, everybody had their place. So when she said to the father of the woman, when this man goes with you to shul, pretend that you're busy by the door when you go into the shul, that you're busy with someone. Tell him to please go ahead of you and go to his normal seat where he always sat. And you pretend you're preoccupied with someone else by the door to discuss something. Okay. And then you tell me what happened. They went Shabbos to shul, and the father-in-law said, just go to your seat because I need to talk to someone here about a very important thing. And he saw that the young man was a little confused. He kept walking into shul. He didn't know where to go. So they came back to the Rav and they told him what happened. So the Rav said, bring the man to me. They brought the guy to him and he said to him, you better tell the truth or off you will be punished by Hashem. Tell the truth now. And the man opened up and said, you know what? You're right. I'm not the husband, but I know the husband. I became very friends with him in another city. And I tricked out, spoke to him about different things. And I found out some personal things of his in his life, about his wife. So when I came here, I told these things to her to make her believe that he is the husband. Because how does he know these personal things that nobody else knows? and I'm really not the husband. And then everybody again saw what a chacham and how smart the Rav is. He knew how to catch a liar. And that's very important for a Rav to have, not just knowing what the Rambam says, what the Shulchan Aruch says. He also has to be able to catch someone, you know, to see how people think and catch them when they're trying to lie to the Rav.